T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Under a minute to go on the power play. Sent around by Reinhardt to the far point. Eichel standing on the wall, right wing side, works it down low. Reinhardt with a chance, scores! With 46 seconds left in the Sabres power play, they strike and take a 2-0 lead. Eichel on the right wing boards, up to center, and he'll shoot it in. Hall in the corner to the right of the Flyers' goal. Left wing in the attack for Buffalo. Here's a chance, and Reinhardt scores! Left alone in the slot, and Sam Reinhardt with back-to-back goals in this period has given Buffalo a 3-0 lead.
Dan Dunleavy on the call last night. Some of the first moments of the game from the Sabres' win over the Philadelphia Flyers.
And props to the fake crowd noise there. They're doing the clap, 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 clap. Let's go Flyers.
Yeah, I heard it. It sounded real. That's right. I did hear it at one point last night for sure, and their silly announcer was still yelling about the Pico power play. I don't know why that freaking naming right stays in my head. First moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Happy Tuesday. One of the things we were talking about tweeted out, what has this Bill season meant to you? So far, Jason tweeted in, pride, the national recognition, finally, that a Buffalo sports team is a legitimate championship contender. No matter how or when the season comes to an end, the pride is enough to call us a successful season. And Shane added, tweeted in, as much as the winning season has been great, and it has been awesome, this team is just fun to watch. They have fun with each other, no egos, no bickering bills, just a bunch of good dudes. Love this team. So thanks for your tweets. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. You'd like to orally share your thoughts with us this morning here on WGR.
So I've got something that this season has meant to me. And it's funny, like you think about all the times we've talked about this team and how they got here, right? Going back to the Mahomes draft. If we just started the McDermott era, okay, they hire McDermott. Do we love it? What do we know about it? We're like, wow, okay, that guy, huh? Interesting.
Right.
You know, he was a name. It was a little bit like the Brandon Staley hire for the Chargers. Like, a name pops up, boom, he's got the job. Oh, okay. Looks like it'll be Sean McDermott. And Doug Whaley's still the GM, and they trade out of the Mahomes spot and take Trey White. And, you know, there's a lot of history with all that. The following year, the quarterbacks. We're watching quarterbacks for the entire season. We've got a text club telling people when to watch, what channel they're on. Everybody kind of lined up in a corner or two, who they liked, who they didn't. Plenty of Bills fans didn't like the idea of drafting Josh Allen. Allen's proven everybody wrong. You know, a lot of fun with that in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one conversation that we had. It would have been this offseason, right? Or 2 years ago. I'm mixing up my years now. When's the Antonio Brown thing happen?
That was prior to the 2019 season, right? Because that was Raiders Hard Knocks year, right?
Okay, so that's before the
2018 season.
So before the Texans, that's Josh's rookie year. Josh's rookie year happens.
Yes.
And then they go looking for receiver help.
Correct.
And Antonio Brown is a thing for 5 minutes, and then it's gone. You know, the Bills had maybe kicked the tires, maybe been interested in Brown. I remember that for something very specific, and you know, the question is, what has this season meant to you? I remember that because the idea was that Brown would never want to play here,
right?
And that you know, Allen had had a rookie season where up and down, and he'd been hurt, and you saw him jump linebackers and make a couple plays, but other than that, it was just, you know, it was a rookie season that would just wallpaper. Okay, we have no idea if how good he's going to be, what kind of steps he's going to take. And the idea of a receiver coming to the Bills was, I think for a lot of the fan base, and myself definitely included, this is where receivers come to have their career end. They die. Like, receivers die here.
Yeah.
Their careers end. Jordan Matthews comes here, and his career, see you later.
Kelvin Benjamin.
You come here, and this team never throws the ball, and they don't know how to run a passing offense. And the thing I think about is the arguments that we had around that Antonio Brown time, because some people kind of made the thing the football team was bad at, throwing, a reflection of the city, you know, and oh, who would want to ever live there? Who would want to go there? It's almost like we can never have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what this season has done is proven that was always untrue. It was always on the team to develop it. It was always on the team to build the passing offense, to throw the ball, to get the receiver. And, you know, Diggs comes here and I've been a lot of interviews about what he thought of. He thought, well, we've got a young quarterback, and I was impressed by the game that he played in Minnesota. And he knew about Allen a little bit. Granted, it's a full year later. They've made the playoffs. Allen has a little bit more, you know, under his belt, more credibility. But the Bills went from the team where receivers go to die to, oh, no, they just got one that people knew was really good, and now he is in the conversation for one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is huge because – We fought about it forever. We can never have that. We can't do that. You can't have that. Any receiver with any sort of little bit of baggage was, I don't know, I want a guy. We need five guys out there that are a team that are just going to put their nose to the grindstone and get it. No. You can have stars here, and they can flourish, and you can have a passing offense that goes gangbusters. And to me, like, that has been every bit as fun as watching them win. It's the way they win. It's that Brian Daboll – calls a million straight passes in a playoff game, and we don't even
nobody's looking for him to be burned at the stake or anything, or some of us
there are a few that are saying like maybe makes it a run,
yeah.
But the whole idea of how we watch the Bills has completely flipped to a good chunk of the fans saying please never run it,
right? You know, the whole thing the other day, I mean, I'm not angry that they didn't run. If they ran, it's not like we're going to, you know, you got to run it 10 more times. Nah, give it to Singletary three times on the next drive. Great, touchdown, done. It's interesting, Jeremy. I think you made me think about the Sabres a little bit, although it isn't necessarily the same because the NFL has evolved and had already evolved into a passing league. But I was thinking about, you know, where we are now with the Bills.
And as it had done that, we had Doug Marrone and Rex Ryan ground and pound.
Right,
and
right.
Punt and play field position.
Trust your defense.
Yeah.
Don't go for it on fourth down. You know, get a one score lead and run to kill the clock. This team gets a one score lead and throws for a two score lead. You know, all the things that you wanted, they're doing. And so, but it's not a new thing. That's where the NFL has been. It's just the Bills are finally in that zip code or on that block, I guess I should say. But I was thinking about, you know, for years we would watch, you know, we would watch other teams in the regular season, or we would watch the playoffs and we'd see the star quarterbacks and we'd say, wow, you know, I'd watch and go, boy, that fan base must be really happy. Cause I knew what it was like. You know, I knew what it was like to have the quarterback and the explosive offense and to be winning and in the discussion of the Super Bowl and all that stuff. And it was great. And it's been a long time and now it's back. And to me, that's one of the big, like, this season means so many different things. If I had to put it all in one thing, it's, yeah, you're back where this is how I felt 30 years ago. They have a quarterback that other teams want. They have elite players, an elite receiver that other teams want. They are a team that other fan bases look at and go, boy, I wish we could be like those guys. You know, and all that is here now, which is really cool. I said it reminded me about the Sabres, but it's a little bit different, Jeremy, because again, coming out of the lockout, the Sabres were the team that other people were saying, this is how you want to build your team right now. You know, look at the Sabres. Look how fast they are. Look how skilled they are. And this is the new style of game. We're calling penalties. We're cracking down. We're opening up the game. We're going to have power plays. Wow, the Sabres have really built a roster designed for what the league is right now. Okay, and it didn't exactly mean a Stanley Cup.
But the Bills did that, finally. Again, it's not new. We've known that it's you got to get the quarterback and you've got to throw the ball. And it's not run, 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 punt, trust your defense, play field position. It's put the ball in the air and score points. And the Bills are now that team. And for me, I guess more than anything, it's the season's meant a lot. I think it's, you know, from my standpoint, it's been really cool to share this with my son, who had, you know, lived most of his life through the drought. But in the bigger sense of things, like you said, you know, they got an elite receiver. And he came here, and he's really happy, and he's having a blast, and he loves the quarterback, and they goof around on national TV post-game interviews, and he's really, really good. And the quarterback is a legit MVP guy in the league right now, and the GM's good, and the personnel department's good, and the head coach is good, and the OC is staying. And it's just such a long list that makes you feel like you referred to New Orleans. How many cracks the Bills are going to get at the Super Bowl? I know you never know what the future holds, but this feels like, you know, the window opened up big time and we are now ready to enjoy a new golden era of Bills football.
They throw it all the time.
And that's great. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely great.
Here's a good one for you too, that, you know, fancy stats. Sometimes there's a fancy name tossed on something and we can explain it. Did you know that the Bills-Ravens game had the second highest pass rate over expectation of the year in the NFL. Now, what that means is that they run these numbers. This is from Max Robleski, who is NFL Advanced Stats and Data Analytics for Cover One. And the idea is, what would the average team do here? Run it, pass it. The down and distance, the time in the game, they factor in the score and all that. Expected pass rate accounts for game situation. You know, baseline data, the likelihood of a pass. Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Bills-Ravens, the Bills were the second heaviest pass over expectation in the league in the entire year.
Wow.
You know who number one was?
Kansas City?
The Bills.
Oh, I thought you said they were second.
This game.
Oh, for the season they were number one. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
The Bills also had the number one game. The Bills have 7 of the top 19.
Yeah.
Seattle was the number one more passes than expected game in the NFL this year. Baltimore is number 2. The San Francisco game for the Bills was number 10. The Patriots game week 16 was number 13. The Bronco game was number 15. What do we see here? These are down the stretch.
Yeah.
This is week 15, 16, 13, 9, divisional round. They have they got the offense going to a point where they just throw it all the time.
They throw to take the lead. They throw to extend the lead. They throw to for the kill shots. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah. And every one of these ones, every one of these games, 7 of the top 19 where they pass it more than you'd expect, they're 7-0. They throw it.
Right.
They throw to win. And here we are.
Do you ever think we'd live to hear you say that?
I know. That's what honestly, that's what the season has meant to me. It's that.
Yeah.
It's a continuation of McDermott and the decision-making. We don't see them do the Kevin Stefanski punt or the Mike Vrabel punt. We don't see these giant mistakes.
Right.
And like that's just – it's fun. It's fun. It's encouraging. It's great.
803-0550 to join us this morning. What has this season meant to you so far? I got to make sure I add the so far part because, you know, it's not a end of the season, put it in perspective thing. There's – still a game or games to be played. Zach in West Seneca, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yeah, I had a point to piggyback on Jeremy's talk about the receivers to die, but season meant to me, man. Take our mind off of all this. It's just great. We're almost to February, and it's like you still got Bills football, and we're still talking about it. It's awesome. But, you know, to Jeremy's point about receivers, you know, coming here to die, and I was thinking about, you know, how a couple years ago we had guys coming here, Kelvin Benjamin, whoever, name all those guys, and then and basically under, 36 months, we turned it around to having receivers came here, and their careers were basically over, and we didn't throw the ball to – we got an offensive coordinator basically deciding to – he'd rather be here with, you know, Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen than take the Eagles job, which is a mess, and take the Houston job, which is a mess. I mean, who if you would have said 2 years ago, you know, before we knew how good Allen would be, that the Eagles, who had just won a Super Bowl, and the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson, you know, our offensive coordinator wouldn't want to be their head coach. I mean, we would have thought you're crazy. And just a side note, you know, when with Dable not taking the Eagles job, just interesting to me. I think the reason, one of the reasons he may be putting it down is, didn't he bench Jalen Hurts for Tua a couple of years ago in the national championship game? Or do I have it?
Yeah, no, they took him out of the game, and Tua came in the second touchdown. Half and rallied them to a win, I believe, in that game, right?
Yeah, I just wonder, is that some reason maybe he wouldn't want that? And Houston's just, who knows, they got more to than we know going on there. But just amazing, this run. I just want to keep it going, and thank you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Sure. Yeah, appreciate your call.
Yeah, to the receiver point, you can go back for John Brown and Cole Beasley with this,
right?
Too, right?
Yes.
Guys that came here that had some success, and the general conversation is like, well, you're going to Buffalo. I mean, you must be desperate. You're not going to get your numbers there. And sure enough, they both have great years.
They've had their career best years here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And the quarterback deserves a ton of credit for that. The offensive coordinator, obviously, a ton of credit. The GM, who's finding these guys.
Well, you know, you brought up the Antonio Brown story. And what did that mean? I mean, at the time, I think we were just – I know I didn't think they would touch the guy with a 1,000-foot pole because of his issues and off-the-field stuff and everything. And so at the time, it was really, wow, okay. But, I mean, they were trying to tell us, hey, we need to get really much better receivers.
Better receiver.
Right. You know, so the story became about who it was because of culture and all this. But they were basically saying, you know, this is where you'll point out the stats from the 2018 group of receivers.
That Stephon Diggs had more catches than the entire receiver group, basically.
Right. I mean, so Brandon Bean's looking at it going, yeah, Antonio Brown. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Because we need to get real receivers in here.
And that felt, again, that's before they made the playoffs in Houston.
Correct.
That felt like a little bit of a, not a low point, but that was really, it was a gut punch because I didn't necessarily want Brown because I thought it was going to work and he'd be, he'd come in, fit in. I wanted a stud receiver, and it was just 2 years ago where it still felt like, no, they actually will not play here.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do it.
Yeah.
And it felt like the Bills had to dig themselves out of that hole. Now, you know, when Cole Beasley's contract is up or John Brown's or whatever, if they need a guy, my guess is that it's going to be a little bit easier to convince anybody to play with a quarterback that can play like this.
Yeah, you might call your agent and say, hey, can you see if Buffalo's interested? If you're a free agent wide receiver, I'll go play with Josh Allen. I'll get my numbers. I'll get my stats. They're winning. 803-0550 to join us. What has this Bills season meant to you so far? Meg tweeted in, this old gal has been a fan for over 50 years. I can honestly say this is my very favorite Bills team of all of them, and probably due to my constant patting myself on the back because I wanted Josh Allen drafted and I trusted the Pegulas being a McDermott from day one. Well, she's being honest. 803-0550 to join us. We got phone lines open. We'll talk to you about this.
The texture says Antonio Brown was last offseason. It was.
Oh, I thought
no,
it was.
It was not. It was
no,
2019.
Because he went to the Raiders in 2019.
Yeah, it was 2019.
803-0550.
Chris tweeted that in. Chris, time has stopped. You're allowed to forget what happened in what year because of, everything going on. Time seems like it stopped.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Got work to do to prepare. You know, I have a lot of respect for Patrick and how he plays the game and what he adds to their offense. But as you saw with the weapons that they have and the system that Andy runs, I thought Henny came in and did a really good job and won the game for him there. So we've got a lot of work to do as a team and also in this case on our defense to get ready.
Sean McDermott from his Zoom call. If you want to hear what the head coach or the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator or all three had to say yesterday during their Zoom calls, we have them available for you in on-demand audio at WGR550.com or on-demand audio brought to you by Northwest Bank. Increase in value of you. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. And we're talking about what this Bills season has meant for you so far. You can call us on that, whatever else is on your mind. We are going to the West Her Hotline and bringing in a guy who was on the beat the last time the Bills made the AFC Championship game 27 years ago, Sal Majorana, who covers the Bills for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, joining us right now. Sal, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I am good, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're good. Did you go to your desk, your closet, and dust off the How to Cover the AFC Championship handbook that you'd put away a while ago?
No. I think I remember how to do it. I'm not that old. I'm not quite as old as you, Howard.
Thank you. But yeah, I believe you're 1 year younger.
Same age.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Hey,
look, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. There was a thing, Howard, I got to share the story because it's funny. Back when the Bills made annual playoff visits, if you remember, they used to give us the parking tickets for the season.
Yeah.
And they always had at least one for a playoff game.
That's right, yeah.
So the first year they didn't make the playoffs in 2000, I just kept it for the heck of it, right? And I said, next time they'll make it. I had that pinned on my little cubby hole in my office at work for, 17 years?
Wow.
I just thought of that story the other day because it's long gone now, because I did say, when they make it again, I'm going to throw it out.
That's
but that
funny.
Thing sat there for 17 years.
Well, at least you were ready. I got my pass. Don't send me a parking pass. I've got it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't know what your preseason. I'm going to assume your preseason prediction did not have them advancing to the AFC Championship game.
No.
If that was the case, then at what point in the season, Sal, was there a point where you thought, they're good enough right now. They're going to make a run. Like they actually can get to this point, or maybe even beyond.
Yeah, I think for me it was probably the Seattle game because at that time, remember Russell Wilson. Everyone was talking MVP for Russell Wilson at that time of the year. Seahawks were playing very well, and the Bills just spanked them. I mean, they scored 34, but Buffalo just played so well that day. Allen was incredible, and I started thinking then that, man, this team really is good. But when it really hit me, Howard, was in December because, all year long they had been just outscoring teams. And when the defense started to play better later in the year here, then I'm thinking, if they can get both sides of the ball playing the way they've been playing lately here, they're going to have a great chance. And sure enough, the other night, they won a game that they would not have been capable of winning in the first half of the season. And that's a great sign for the Bills moving forward, especially with the Chiefs this week, because the defense played really, really well.
Yeah, I do want to ask you about the defense, but you know what, Sal? I'm in that same area. I mean, the December stretch for me, if there is one specific game, I would bring up San Francisco. Now, I know they didn't have a winning record, but they had a really good defense, and the way Josh Allen and the passing offense, the way they destroyed San Francisco's defense, and, their coordinators considered one of the best in the game. He got a head coaching job in the division. To me, like, that night was the moment where I thought, and they did that to a good defense. These guys can get to the Super Bowl. Like that, if I had to circle one game on the schedule.
Yeah, you know what? I think I picked against the Bills three times all year, and that was one of the games. I thought that was a game, even though Mullins was playing quarterback for them, I just thought San Fran's defense would play really well, and they would struggle in that game. And, you know, I was wrong. I missed that one. So only three times all year I've picked against them. I don't know what your record is, Howard. I know you do it every week, but I can say that I've picked against them three times, and I was only right on the Kansas City game.
Yeah.
So you
haven't picked against them too much, Howard. I mean, maybe Kansas City, maybe Tennessee. San Francisco, you were the same mind. Like, it just looked like a tough game for a tough matchup.
I was nervous about that game. I really was. I was worried about that game.
But,
yeah.
Sal, now the story is that he's picking them to win the Super Bowl and has been for a couple of weeks.
Oh, I know. I've heard him. I listened in the morning. I'm like, wow, who is this guy?
It's the energy drink. It's not me. It's the boost I get. I was wondering, you know what, Sal, again, from the historical perspective, I was talking about this with Jeremy, and I know I brought this up with Murph. I was not here in 88, okay? I got here in 89. And there were times this season, as it's beginning to really go, and the offense is looking great, and they're rolling, and they're going to win the division, I kept thinking, I wonder if this is what it felt like with Bills fans in 88. They hadn't won, but they got all these components in. Now all of a sudden they win the division, they go to the AFC Championship game. So, but I'm going to ask you, does it feel like that? Or is this more like 1990? Because that was, you know, for some, maybe that was, you know, they eventually get to the Super Bowl. That was the big special moment.
You know what? It's funny. I wrote this story probably 2 weeks ago that the 88 team is the one that I compare it to. And here's why. You know, they had gone 7-8 the year before. You know, I know last year's team made the playoffs, but they were still a team that was building, right? I mean, In 87, the Bills were building because they were terrible the first year of Kelly. And then 88, it all came together just like this year. And you look back, Polian was in, I think, his third year, you know, three and a half years as GM. Brandon Bean's been here just about the same time. Marv had been there. It was his second full year, but, you know, 2.5 years. McDermott just getting his systems in place. That was Kelly's third year. This is Josh Allen's third year. They were building pieces in 88. You know, you added in 87, they had a great draft. Then they added Bennett in the trade. Then they get Thurman in 88. All these pieces that the Bills are doing right now, all very reminiscent to me of 88. Yeah. And then they go 12-4, and, you know, they didn't win the AFC Championship, but that was the step, I thought. I think this team is very similar. And here's the key part to this, Howard. 88, that was the year that began, you know, basically 12 straight years. Outside of 2 years, 12 years of the golden age of Bills football. So you hope that this year is the start maybe of something new like that.
You know, you mentioned, I did want to ask you about the defense, Sal. I think it's interesting. I mean, the offense has pretty consistently been very good. And the defense, you could almost draw a line from pre-bye week and post-bye week. I was looking at their numbers, and they've shaved off like 9 points a game on the average from pre-bye week to post-bye week. What do you, and it is an important discussion because of what we hope they can help do Sunday night. How or in what ways do you think the defense has evolved over the last half of the season?
You know, it's tough to really figure out, Howard, what the problem was in the first place, right? I mean, they had so many guys coming back. They're in the same system. And I think a lot of us just pinned it on it was tougher for defenses around the NFL to jump off after having no offseason and no training camp or preseason, really. That's all I could really think of because all the pieces were in place. Yeah, they changed some guys up front on the D-line. But to me, you know, in the back end of it, everything was pretty much the same.
Right.
So I don't really know why they struggled so much. But I do know that they've got a lot of talented players on that side of the ball. And I also think it might have been a little bit of a pride factor. I mean, I think they looked at themselves and said, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Why are we letting teams score 30 points? We're way better than this. And I think it just clicked in. And they realized, we're a damn good defense. Let's go start playing like one. And they have. They've played really, really well.
Hey, one other thing on this matchup, then a quick question on Brian Daboll. For argument's sake, Sal Majorana with us, by the way, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle on our West Shore Hotline. For argument's sake, let's say Mahomes plays Sunday night. What do the Bills do? You know, do they try and go toe-to-toe and say, you know, you score, we're going to score? Or do they do the whole game plan of you're not going over the top, we're going to let you run it, we're not going to hopefully give up 245 this time, but we're going to do everything to keep you from making the big plays, even if it means time of possession? Because last game, Kansas City had the ball for just under 38 minutes. The Bills literally couldn't get him off the field. What did they do this Sunday?
To me, Howard, I don't know that they change a whole lot because they did a good job on Mahomes. Tyreek Hill was a non-factor
yeah.
in that game.
Yeah.
They did a really nice job. You said it. The problem that game, for whatever reason, they were god-awful against the run, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's a very good rookie player, killed him. Well, right now we're not sure of his status. I have a feeling, because there was speculation last week, that he was getting close. So maybe he plays, but the kid hasn't played for a month. So I think they're going to do a much better job. And they have improved, by the way, at the end of the year against the run. So I think they do very similar concepts. They did a nice job keeping Mahomes in check. He got out of the pocket a couple times. That big third down play in the fourth yep. quarter was a killer. But just do a better job against the run, and I think you've got a pretty good chance. Hey, if Cleveland can hold that team, and I know Mahomes didn't play the fourth quarter, if Cleveland can hold that team to 22, I think the Bills could do that too. So yeah. I wouldn't change a whole lot of what they did in the first game.
Man, it was a six-point game with 6.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, yeah. Hey, last thing for you, Sal. Brian Daboll, there are reports coming out yesterday that he's going to be back as offensive coordinator next season for the Bills. If you could just maybe share some thoughts on that, because I think amidst all the happiness of the last few weeks, there's been that, you know, in the background, Bills fans have been nervously wondering whether or not Daboll was going to take a head coaching job.
Yeah, look, I mean, Bills fans can be as selfish as they want here, because this is good news. I mean, bringing Brian Daboll back, for if it does happen, and it looks like it will, for a fourth year with Josh Allen, and they keep building this system, and he gets to work. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is great news for the Bills, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, I was very surprised he didn't get the Chargers job. But I also think, and again, I have no idea what the process was, but it just feels to me they didn't want to wait. I think Daboll was the front runner, and when the Bills won their game and the Rams lost their game, I think they might have flipped. I mean, I don't know. For sure, I'm just speculating here. But you know how teams get, Howard. They get impatient.
Yep.
They want to start building their staff. And there's a possibility, a good possibility, that Dable's not available for 3 weeks. So I think that might have been the final push for the Chargers to go ahead and, you know, punt on Brian Daboll.
All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to bestow upon you quite the honor. Now, we're not going to have you pick the Bills because contractually I'm bound to that silly thing. But we're going to let you be a guest answerer for instant trivia, Bills instant trivia. You want to play along?
Sure.
All right, Brayton and I are here to help out too.
We need you, Sal, instead of Brayton, because this is going to go back a little bit farther, a little before Brayton's time. The gap in AFC championship games, this will be a tougher question for the younger guys.
Wow, man, to make me feel young, Jeremy. Thanks.
You're young, you know. So here's the instant trivia for you, gentlemen. Hall of Famers that were in the game, a part of the last Bills-Chiefs AFC championship game.
Oh,
there are 9 members of the Hall of Fame that are a part of that game. Name those 9 Hall of Famers.
All right, Sal, you want to start?
All right. Well, obviously, Montana, Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed. So there's, yep, what, 5?
Okay. Derek Thomas for Kansas City?
That's right.
Okay, you got, let's see.
You got 6. That's 3 more.
Did you get, you got Kelly, Thurman, Bruce. Did you say Lofton? Lofton would have been.
Lofton was gone by then.
He was gone, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody on the line.
So it's got to be some Chiefs guys, Howard.
Yeah, okay, but Neil Smith's not in. Montana we got.
Who was in their secondary then?
Oh, Lord.
The one was the secondary guy for the Chiefs.
Wow. How many Chiefs players are we missing, Jeremy?
You're missing 2 Chiefs players, none in the secondary.
Linebacker. No, we got
both
Thomas,
on Neil the Smith. Offense.
Yeah, I was going to say, right, because the defense was offense. Thomas and Neil
Marcus
Smith.
Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen's correct.
Oh, very good.
And then a class of 2015 Hall of Famer.
Offensive lineman, I'm thinking.
Yes, that's right.
Who is their big stud offensive lineman? Oh, my goodness. Who's their offensive line?
I know. I'm trying to remember the names back then.
Here's your hint.
You should at least get half a point for that.
He has a really great last name for being an offensive lineman.
Pancake block.
Colton? No.
All right. I thought that would be.
Because an offensive lineman does what for a quarterback? He
protects.
He almost like a sword and a
Oh, Will Shield.
Will Shields.
Yeah, Will Shields. I knew Will somebody, but I kept thinking of, yeah, I was thinking of a former Bill, and I couldn't remember Shields.
And there's also a non-player, not owner, but a coach.
Marv. Yeah.
There you go. You're nine Hall of Famers.
Wow.
From that last AFC Championship game with these two teams.
Wow.
Yeah. I still remember the play that Montana got.
Knocked
it was Jeff Wright and Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
A Montana sandwich just crushed him.
Yeah.
And that was, it's the same way that Kelly went out. He left the field at Rich Stadium, and that was the last play of his career for Montana, just like Kelly.
That game was easy peasy. You know, what was it? They ended up winning like 30-13. Sal, I don't think that game was ever in doubt.
How early did Montana get knocked out?
Third quarter, early in the third quarter, in fact.
Yeah,
they played the Chiefs. I'm doing a story for Sunday on the three times they played the Chiefs in the playoffs. And in the 91 division game, they knocked Steve DeBerg out of the game. I think the second quarter, Mark Vlasic, if you remember that name, comes in.
Yeah.
He threw four interceptions against
Mark
the Bills. So that game, the story is that they've played them three times, and every game has been a blowout. The Chiefs blew the Bills out in 66. And then the Bills blew them out twice in the 90s. So we're hoping for a good playoff game between these teams because they haven't played one yet.
I'll take a Bills playoff blowout. I'm good with that, Sal.
I guess you're right there. Yeah, that'd be good for me, too, because it's easier to write a blowout on deadline.
I mean, if you want to go back to your first Super Bowl since 1990, how about 51-3 in the AFC Championship game?
The funny thing about that, Howard, is around halftime, I'm trying to get a hold of a travel agent to start planning my trip. Remember, the game was the following week.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's funny.
That was a little bit of a hectic period.
I feel like Bills fans were running to payphones inside Rich Stadium at halftime trying to book flights. Yeah. Well, listen, enjoy the game Sunday. And as always, Sal, thank you for giving us some time on the show.
All right, guys, thanks for having me, and try to enjoy yourself, too, on Sunday.
Hey, before we go, why don't you get a plug in again? We'll throw you a bone because you were nice enough to come on with us. You still have your book for sale about Buffalo sports teams in the 70s, right?
I do. When Buffalo stood atop the sports world, you can get it at Amazon. Just type my name, and all my books will come up. And, yeah, that's actually been selling pretty well.
Good.
You guys have helped me with that. So, it's a great look back to the 70s when things were a lot of fun around Buffalo.
Good deal. Thanks, Sal. Take care.
All right, guys. Take care.
Sal Majorana joining us, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle Westar Hotline. Bills play Sunday. We got you covered, by the way. Here's your lineup. Actually, we got Sports Talk Saturday from 10 to 6. Yeah. And then Sunday, Sports Talk Sunday from 10 to 1. Game day at 1. Countdown to kickoff at 3. 6:40 kickoff. Post game to follow. Overtime after that, just listen to the radio all weekend is basically what I'm telling you. So,
you know what we should do next? Are we open?
Yeah.
Let's rank the 9 most likely Hall of Famers from this game.
Ooh, I got to grab rosters. Okay, very good.
Right?
I'll work on it in the break.
There's definitely a couple that are going to,
Yeah.
Let's rank them in likelihood.
Yep.
And find 9 Hall of Famers from this game.
You got it. I'm on it.
All right, so the challenge has been issued, Howard. I think I've put together my list as well. Just had the instant trivia with Sal Mariana that the last time the Bills and Chiefs met in the AFC Championship game, there were 9 Hall of Famers involved. We ran through that list. So if you were challenged to pick 9 players, coaches, whatever, to make the Hall of Fame from this game, please do not text us and say, are you guys putting Josh Allen in the Hall of Fame already? No, please don't. We're having a little fun here, okay? So, in order of likelihood, to make the Hall of Fame.
So we got to get to 9, you're telling me?
We got to get to 9.
One,
no matter
okay,
what,
hold
you
got
to get
two,
to 9.
3, 4, 5, 6. And coaches and executives included or just players?
Sure. I mean, let's not do executives. Let's do coaches.
All right. Sorry, Brandon Bean. I was going to put you in, buddy. Okay.
I know you got Tyler Bass number 1. I mean, he said a
actually, Brayton mentioned Tyler Bass. We were discussing it in the break, and he said he had Bass on his list. I did
number
not.
Number one's Andy Reid, right?
I think there are 4 locks on Kansas, 3.5 locks on Kansas City.
Is it Reid, Kelce, Mahomes, and Tyrann Mathieu?
Those are the guys I had.
Okay, I think you're right. All 4 of them are going in. Tyrann Mathieu was on the 2010s all-decade team.
I wanted to make sure with him, yeah. Like I thought he should be a lock because he's one of the best defensive backs of his era.
Three-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, so he's that's four.
Sorry,
that's easy.
Four-time All-Pro, three-time first-team All-Pro. Yeah, I think he's going to go in. I think Reed, Kelce, Mahomes, and Mathieu are 100%. And Tyreek Hill has a look, right?
Yeah, Brayton and I were talking about that. I don't think he's a lock. Brayton's a little bit more convinced about it than I am. But, you know, it's just receiver discussions are so hard.
Yeah.
The only other guy, so I thought of him. What about Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think he goes.
Then the only other guy for Kansas City.
Right? Doesn't Bell get punished for what happened to his career? He was probably on a track to maybe make it, but I bet he gets punished
the last
for that.
Few years. All right.
Uh-huh.
The only other guy for Kansas City is Chris Jones, who is maybe the second best defensive tackle in the game, but I think that's a stretch to put him in the hall. So I really my list is four, and if you want to throw in Hill, there's your fifth, and that's it.
Okay. And then four Bills, you'd probably go like, what, this is easy? McDermott, White, Diggs, and Allen?
Likelihood? Those are the guys. I thought about Hughes, but I don't think he's got the sack stats that would impress people. And then the only other guys were the safeties, but again, I think they're both very good, but it's another discussion to say Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And that's why I got to McDermott and Bean. If they win a Super Bowl or two, I think they would both go in.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills are still – the Chiefs, it's funny that they've got older players. I mean, Kelce's been one of the best tight ends for how long? Like 5 years?
Oh, my goodness. This guy is a lock.
Mahomes has an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. He's already got some of the hardware that if he were to retire tomorrow, I think he would go in.
Agreed.
Andy Reid, of course, decades of coaching.
All right, so it's 2020, so I just want to reserve – August 2021. Thank you. August of okay. Josh is going to play for 15 more years. That's 2035, 36. You've got to be out 5 years, right, to be considered. August of 2041. I'm going to block off early August of 2041 to be in Canton.
All right.
Geez, I'll be like 80 years old. All right. I might need you to wheel me around Canton at the Hall of Fame at that point, if that's okay.
Hey, breaking news: the Mets have fired their GM.
Yeah, I saw that one coming.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what he did was not good. Yeah,
nope.
Yeah, I could see that. I didn't realize that until I came into work this morning. I saw that story and I thought, all right, they're going to be in the market for a new GM.
Well,
okay.
Steve Cohen did it before 8 a.m. So
yeah, well, that's,
there you go.
That's the right thing to do. What the guy did was inexcusable. So, all right, we'll get a break in. When we get back, we're still talking Bills football all morning. We want to hear from all of you. Let's go, Bills fans. 803-0550. Pick it up. What has the Bills season meant to you so far? We're getting some really good tweets on that, but we like getting phone calls too. And Ralph Kruger is going to join us about 8:10. We're going to talk some hockey with the head coach of the Sabres. That's on the way as well on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.